my sin, but the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. He's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin, but the Holy Ghost within. I love that man from Galilee. Oh, I love that man from Galilee. He's done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sin, but the Holy Ghost within. I love that man from Galilee.
Amen. Amen. I love that man from Galilee, don't you? Isn't it so good to be back in the house of the Lord this morning? Well, four of you is really glad to be here. Golly, we're gaining ground too. It was two last week. How many of you glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Give him a big hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm not making fun of you. I'm just telling the truth. We're so glad to have all of you here today. It's so good to be able to come back to the house of the Lord. Had a glorious time here last night. Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? Had some good singing, good preaching. Everybody left happy, I trust. We're back again this morning to do it all over again. Turn around, shake somebody's hand. Tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. What a privilege it is. Let's sing a little bit more. Give me a verse.
In a manger long ago, I know it's really so. A babe was born to save men from their sin. John saw him on the shore, the Lamb forevermore, the Christ crucified on Calvary. Forgiven all my sins, place the Holy Ghost within. Oh, I love that man from Galilee.
Chorus.
Oh, I love that man from Galilee. He has done so very much for me. He's forgiven all my sins, place the Holy Ghost within. That man from Galilee.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to let you be seated for a little bit. We got several requests this morning. Brother Daniel's going to come just in a few minutes to take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of the prayer request. Johnny Leach been diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer. He's the father of a teacher down at the Happy Valley Elementary, and they're asking that we would remember that prayer request this morning as we pray. Brother Charlie says, please have the church, especially those brothers and sisters who love him and us so much, to be in prayer for the healing of our son, Danny, who was involved in a car accident. The other driver went across the median strip, went into the Brother Danny's lane, hit him head on. Brother Danny was taken to the hospital, and he's very sore in his neck and just feeling a lot of soreness and stiffness from that wreck. So let's just pray that the Lord would touch Brother Danny Torres, just a precious brother, and got an okay mom and dad. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Brother Danny Torres is a wonderful brother, got a good family. Wife and children and Brother Charlie and Sister Chevy. What could you say more about them than just, that we just love you. We really love you. Amen. Sister Evelyn Williams, sister, please pray for Brenda Couch's father, Brother Curtis. He's not doing well. Pray for the family. They've called all the family in. Also pray for my dad. He had a really hard fall. He's in a lot of pain on the whole right side and his back. Thank you so much. So we want to just commit that unto the Lord this morning. Sister Tasha Wheaton says, "Dear Saints, please pray for my friend's sister. She had a baby a couple of weeks ago and has developed serious complications and is now on life support. The doctors don't know if she will make it. Thank you and may God bless." So we certainly want to pray for that need this morning, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. Brother Moyer sends this in to please remember my wife in prayer for her healing. Also remember my two daughters in prayer that God will restore our daughters back to our home. Also, they're going to be having a court case. Child services is involved. Please pray for the hand of the Lord to be in all of this. So we want to remember that prayer request this morning. Brother and Sister Baker and family, they want to thank the Lord for traveling mercy. They were on a trip they was on and God gave them traveling mercy, and they want to thank the Lord for that. Sister Rachel Eastep says, "I want to thank the Lord. Since I found out that I have cancer, I've had no fear. Thank everyone for praying. I will be having surgery tomorrow. I believe God will take care of it all." Well, we just believe with her, won't we? Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's just commit that unto the Lord this morning. And this is just another prayer request on Brother Danny Torres' behalf, that the Lord will be mindful of him. Brother Micah Swafford says to please pray for my brother-in-law, Josh Luna. Several health issues. Also pray for my healing from chronic back pain I've had for several years. An unspoken prayer request that the Lord knows all about. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Brother Amos sends this in. This is in regard to his mother. She needs care in all ways. In the last 3 months, however, in answer to prayer, amazingly to us, the doctors, the staff, have included at the facility that mom is eating nearly all of her food. Her bed sore ulcer is steadily shrinking, and the aspiration pneumonia has disappeared. This is a testimony that has been a long time coming, and they want to praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Gary Longoria's daughter, Hannah, has some very concerning test findings. Gary has health problems and just, Lord, of course, losing Sister Margie, their mother, and just pray for the Longoria family that God would be with them. Ben and Emily Potter's baby, Addie, is not feeling well. That's from Grandpappy Willis. So we just pray for that child today, that the Lord would be mindful of that situation. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have a need this morning, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Now, before Brother Daniel comes, I ask him to mention something about this, and I'm certain that he will. As you know, Friday was Veterans Day, and we've got a lot of veterans that make up a portion of our assembly. And I would like for all the veterans, if you would, to stand this morning. If you're a veteran of the service, please, would you just stand? Everybody stand up. Everybody stand up if you're a veteran this morning. Now, let's take all of you turn around and look. We probably got, what, 10 or 12 veterans that we want to say thank you so much. We want to say thank you. Amen. You can be seated. To every one of you, thank you for your service. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made. And may God bless every one of you. May God bless every one of you. We appreciate you so very much. Brother Daniel, I don't know what you can add to that, but I'm sure you'll find something. Let's stand this morning as Brother Daniel takes us to the Lord in prayer. Certainly appreciate Brother Daniel Nunley, a veteran, also this morning.
Amen. I'd just like to say concerning the veterans, I can remember being out in the cold when I thought my feet was going to freeze off. I can remember being out when I thought the bugs was going to eat me up. And I can remember being out when it was so hot, you couldn't hardly get your breath. So, you know, and being away from home, especially during holidays, it was always a sacrifice and different things. But you know, when you look back on them, our sacrifice is nothing to compare with the sacrifice that Jesus Christ made for us. Amen. When he made that supreme sacrifice. Oh my, how thankful we are for that this morning. Amen. Let's take our needs to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence thanking you. Appreciate you for waking us up this morning, God. For we know that it was faith that got us up, but it's grace that brings us back. Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you move in this service today. God, we bring our needs, these requests before your throne. We pray in the name of Jesus that you move for every one of them right now. God, there's no way that I can remember all these requests, but you know every one of them, Lord Jesus. God, we'll be in this congregation or across the sea somewhere. No matter where it is, your hands are not too short. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you reach forth your hand, that you touch to heal and to save and deliver. Be with our pastor, Lord Jesus, wherever he is today. Be with the one that speaks to us today, Lord. God, we pray now that you'll take charge of every part of this service, the song service, the musicians, God, the preachers, every one of them, those that's out on the field. God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you'll move for them. We'll give you the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, let me just say this morning. Many of us were not veterans of the armed forces, but every one of us are soldiers this morning. And some of you are veterans from years and years and years of service. That's to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know one day there's going to be a great decoration day. We'll all stand before him and we'll get a reward. Don't really know what it'll be. Don't really care. As long as I get to stand before him and he smiles and says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." Give him a good hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, receive the morning tithe and offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor today, we certainly want to welcome you. Those that are streaming, pray this service will be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let's sing a song this morning. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. Are you glad you're going home this morning? You're making preparations right now. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away. I'm listening for the trumpet to sound most any time, and a crown of life that's waiting, thank God, will soon be mine. I got my invitation through a place called Calvary. By the precious blood of Jesus, this trip's been paid for me. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I've made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away.
Captain of the vessel, he's calling, get on board. And the destination's heaven, safe on the crystal shore.
Oh, yes.
We'll meet again, the Savior.
Thank you, Lord.
And our loved ones who've gone on. Yes, we're going home.
Oh, we're going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when he calls his bride away. Yes, we're going.
home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His bride away. Now the captain of this vessel, he's calling, come on, get on board. And the destination's heaven, safe on that crystal shore,
where we'll meet again, the Savior.
Oh, yes, sir.
And our loved ones,
oh, what a reunion it's going to be.
There to live for all eternity.
Praise God.
Oh, yes, we're going home.
Praise God, we're going home. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His bride away. I'm going home with Jesus in the twinkling of an eye. I made my preparation for a mansion in the sky. I may not know the moment, and I may not know the day, but I know that I'll be leaving when He calls His bride away. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. Now the choir has a song for us this morning. I don't know exactly what is involved in that, but they need a little bit of time to be getting set up. So I want all the choir members come onto the platform. We're going to sing another little song while they're getting ready. Give them a nice hand as they get ready to sing for you this morning. I believe Brother Brandon Green is going to give us a song if he'll come onto the platform also. I'm just so glad to have this choir that's going to be singing for us. We appreciate them, don't we? Amen. Let's sing a little chorus together, Brother Harry. I'm going to make it as they get ready to sing. You ain't paying a bit of attention, are you? I'm going to make it. Let's sing that. I'm going to make it. Let's sing that this morning. Well, we got a good-looking choir up here, don't we? Praise the Lord. Give them one more hand clap, if you will, this morning. Amen. Let's sing this together. The choir is going to help us as we sing it. We'll just all sing it together. I'm so glad for this. In spite of what all is going on in the world today, I heard Brother Branham say on a tape just a while ago, God didn't save you in fear of 10 years down the road losing you. He don't run His business like that. If He ever saved you, you're saved, brother. Now, we make a lot of decisions. That ain't worth nothing. Our decisions sometimes don't mean nothing. Because if somebody talk you into something, somebody else can talk you out of something. But if God ever changes your heart, changes your soul, you're saved to the uttermost. Are you glad about that this morning? You're going to make it. You are going to make it. Somebody say praise the Lord. I'm gonna make it. He's already said I would. I'll keep on trusting. He's working everything for my good. Oh, the Lord. You can be seated this morning. Let me make this announcement before the choir sings for you today. This is the last day to pick up your shoebox, and all boxes need to be turned in by this coming Wednesday. So remember that. This is the last day. Sister Cindy, God bless you. Appreciate all the effort that everybody's put forth. Amen. I guess I'll just go off here.
Your plan for me is right. I need you to fulfill your purpose in my life. I submit to you, my King. Be my everything. I'm coming to you again. Lord, here I am. I surrender. life, give it all to
Now, since you have raised the bar, choir, we'll be expecting that at least 2 to 3 times a month. At least 2 or 3 times a month. That's it gives everybody that don't get to sing a special, gives everybody a chance to participate. And we certainly appreciate all the effort. Appreciate this guy right here too, don't we? Brother Brandon Green. Give him a nice hand as he gets ready to sing.
Y'all pray for us.
This day in history was over, all was lost. On the cross, beaten, battered, bruised beyond description, you gave it all. But what went wrong? This couldn't be the end of heaven's story, 'cause you came to save, to beat the grave. 3 days and now they're looking for your body. Hallelujah. But now you're gone, and now I know you saved the day you rolled the stone away. The empty grave is there to say, you reign. Save the day. You tore the holy veil away. You opened wide the prison gates. You save the day. Rescue from the shackles of my failures. In the dead of night, you shine your light. Your gift of love is hope that springs eternal. And because of you, all things are new. You saved the day you rolled the stone away. The empty grave is there to say, you reign. You saved the day. You tore the holy veil away. You opened wide the prison gates. You saved the day. Oh God, you rescued me from my iniquity. Your gift of love is hope that springs eternal. Because of you, all things are new. You saved the day. The day you rolled the stone away, the empty grave is there to say, you reign. You saved the day. You tore the holy veil away. You opened wide the prison gates. You saved the day. You saved the day. The day you rolled the stone away, the empty grave is there to say, you reign. You saved the day. You tore the holy veil away. You opened wide the prison gates. You saved the day.
Y'all help me, because the allergy devil has jumped in my throat. What are we singing? Heart of worship. Okay. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Lord, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours. Every single breath, I'll bring you more than a song. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within. Through the way things appear, you're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. Oh, it's all about you. It should be all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. It's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus.
Oh, it's all about you, Lord. Father, this morning, Lord, we come before your throne. Lord, not coming, Lord, of ourselves, but Lord, coming to worship. Lord, of prostrate ourselves, as it were, before, Lord, that throne, not asking for pallet. Lord, not asking for pillow, O God, or comforts of this world. But Lord, as we, as the little prostitute, she came before your throne. She bowed herself and wept upon your feet and washed your feet with her tears. Lord, she spared nothing, O God, and poured out the oil upon your feet, Lord. Lord, she kissed your feet. Lord, if we could do that this morning, O God, that we could kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Lord, we don't want you to be unentertained this morning, unwelcome. Lord, that you'll fill your children, Lord, that you'd inhabit the praises of your children, you'd come among us. Lord, that you'd meet every need of every needy child this morning, oh God. Help us, Father. We need you today. We love you. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, that you reached down your hand for us. We were lost and without hope. We love you today, Father. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. The church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, friends. If you have your Bibles, I invite you to Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Amen. Thank you, sir. Trust that you were somehow helped last evening.
Amen.
And I had felt that I would preach a kind of a sequel to that this morning, and then late in the night I was just felt pressed to go a different way, and then this morning I got a text from a brother in Africa. And the text he sent me was actually right along what the Lord was dealing with me again. And so he gave me a confirmation. And then Brother Louis started singing a song about that old ship of Zion. I thought, and I'm sure we got some naval personnel here this morning. And God bless you, military folk. And we greet you all in the name of the Lord. And when we were in the Marines, they always said, you know, Semper Fi, Semper Fidelis. He's always faithful, but Marines will fail us someday. But when Jesus said he's always faithful, he'll never fail us. Amen. I'm glad to be a part. Amen. They called it the Marine Corps. Amen. That's the body of Marines. I said, well, and they always said it was esprit de corps, the spirit of the corps. Well, I'm glad I got the spirit of the body. Amen. The body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, we want to have you to read with us starting at verse 35. The same day when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over to the other side. When they had went, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea will obey him? May the Lord bless the reading of the word this morning as you have your seats. Would like to title our message this morning, Troubled Waters. Troubled Waters. Ephesians 4 and verse 14 says, And that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive. The prophet of God tells us that there was another time, making reference to the time when Jesus walked upon the water. Find that when the disciples had left the Lord Jesus, he had went up into the mountain to rest himself after the meeting. The disciples got into the ship and they started on their way, I believe the scripture says, to Capernaum. And Brother Bannon makes a statement there. He says,
He said, you see, when Satan saw the disciples who had been casting out devils, he said, when they had left the master and went off by themselves, he said, now I'll settle the score. And so we find that many times, you know, that Satan, according to the scripture, that he comes to kill, to steal, to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come to destroy the works of the devil. And the scripture goes on to tell us that we have entered into his work. And so we must finish his work to declare and to finish what he had started out in the head. The body also will continue in that work. But we find in our scripture reading this morning that after the meeting was over, and the preaching of the gospel, healing of the sick, Brother Bam talked about how that virtue, you know, he was able to identify that after, you know, such visions and such supernatural that was taking place in the ministry of the Lord Jesus, that he himself, the prophet of God of our day, that he could identify with that virtue that would leave, and how that after just a few of those visions, as they would break forth, that they would actually have to lead him off of the platform, that he would become so weakened by the discernment and by the visions that he would see. And so no doubt the Lord Jesus himself as a man, the man part of him, would become very weak. And the disciples, he tells them, let's pass over unto the other side. I just thought of that in light of where we are today. That we also, that the Lord Jesus has, I trust that we are in his company, and that we have also, the Bible says that when evening had come, we realize according to the message of the hour that we are in the evening time. And so as the evening time has come upon us, that we also have received an invitation to go unto the other side. And so we realize that we're not just crossing over, you know, the lake, I think it was Tibet or something like that, Tiberias, or the Sea of Galilee. That is, they were to cross over this lake, as it were, that, you know, there was they could see maybe the other side, but we're actually asked to cross over a place that we can't see the other side. You know, and I live there on the coast, and many of you, I'm sure, have been there. And you look out upon the expanse of the sea, and you can't see the other side of the pond, as it were. And so, you know, to venture out into that would be a frightful thing in itself. And I don't believe I'd really ever want to take a vessel across the Atlantic or the Pacific or any kind of body of water that I couldn't swim across, you know. I'm not that fond of the water that way. I think I'd rather fly. I don't know about that, but here we find that there was an invitation that is given this morning to each and every one of us. Let us go to the other side. Well, so Jesus gives us the invitation, and so we think, well, let's just get on board. Jesus is with us after all. You know, we're going to go with the Lord. You know, we're going to go with Jesus. You know, the Lord God of heaven. He's in the boat with us. And so we're going to cross over to the other side. And that sounds like a good idea. Amen. Who all's on board? All right. Everybody's on board this morning. We're going to cross over to the other side. And so we all get in the boat. And we, you know, we're starting over, and, you know, we could all, maybe we'd have a little testimony on the sea. You know, and so we're rowing across, and, you know, Brother Bam tells us of the time when John would begin to tell, you know, the creative power of God, and he said, my mother had told me about the manna that come down from heaven, and how that the children of Israel, that they had ate the manna in the wilderness. And he says, hey, you know, I asked Mama, what does God have? Some big ovens up there. He makes the bread. He said, no, son. He said, God just speaks a word, and that bread came down. It was creative angel food from heaven. And he said, you know, I watched him break that bread, and as he would hand it out, I would watch, I'd look back, and there was more bread there. He'd take that fish and break it off, and he'd hand that piece of fish. I'd look back, and there'd be another piece of fish there. He said he just kept going on. He said, fed 5,000 souls and picked up 12 baskets of fragments that was left over. He said, I saw the creative hand of God. No doubt, you know, that Nathaniel could tell his story about, you know, all that he had been through, and how that Jesus knew the very thoughts of his heart as he prayed under the fig tree. And, you know, we could understand each one, and Peter there, and how that, you know, that he understood and knew who he was and who his old daddy, his godly old daddy was. And we know the testimony of the sea. But if we was on that boat this morning, amen, no doubt we could tell of the stories of what God had done for us. That we could all lift up our head and say, I know that I was lost, amen, as a nickel in a sand pile. I knew I was so far gone that I didn't even think that I could even be saved. Yet somehow God, in His tender mercy, had reached down, amen, and saved a wretch like me. Amen. I can think about the times that we were so sick and that we were afflicted and broken bones. I remember one time I dropped a pickup truck on my leg. Amen. Where my cousin actually let a jack down, and the hydraulic jack released all at once, dropped that truck right down on my leg. I could push my kneecap in two different directions. Before I got to the hospital, amen, we had prayed. My brother prayed for me. Amen, we got to the hospital. He took an x-ray. He said, there's no broken bones here. What is that? I could tell the testimonies, amen, where they was going to cut on my back and do surgery upon me, amen. And before I could get to the south point of Venezuela, amen, my back was 100% well. Oh, we could stand here all day and begin to testify, amen, of the different ones that we know that was full of cancer and could never have children, of uterine cancer, and later have children after children. How is it possible? We could tell of the stories, amen, of the blind that see, the sick that were healed, the different things that we could all testify of cancer that was there. And we went back to the doctor and the cancer wasn't there anymore. What a testimony on the sea we could have today. But the part that, and we would be all excited. But then we realized that something happened that he didn't tell us about. You know, back then they didn't have Doppler radar. You know, they didn't have iPhone with Weather Channel app. You know, otherwise the disciples, they would have looked. Lord, not a good day to be on the lake. We have a high wind warning today. I think we ought to wait till tomorrow. But no, they just, let's get on the boat. And they all get on. Many times we find that that we get on the boat, the invitation's there. You know, after all, it's God. And so we get on the boat, and we think that every day is going to be Sunday, and it's all going to be good, and it's all going to be flowers and roses and happy times and warm and fuzzy feelings. And we start out, but then we realize that he didn't tell us about a Cat 5 hurricane. He didn't tell us about this storm that was raging that he already knew about. He didn't tell us that our son was going to come out of the closet. He didn't tell us that our the wife is going to run off with another woman. He didn't tell us, amen, about the news that was going to come that we got cancer. He didn't tell us about that. He He didn't tell us about, this preacher and that preacher that was going to backslide and that was going to take a bunch of people with him. He didn't tell us about all the trouble. He didn't tell us about the storm that was brewing just outside of our understanding. We were rolling along having a great time. Testimony on the sea. Oh, this is a ball. This is great. Boy, I'm really glad I got in. Got in just in time. I got in this thing, oh, glory to God, the message, oh, wonderful. He didn't tell us that every single person in our family was going to call us the devil. He didn't tell us that nobody was going to receive this message save an elected few. He didn't tell us that we were going to be outcasts among our family and that they were going to make fun of us and that they were going to call us religious fanatics, the very friends and the ones that we loved all along the way. We didn't hear about these storms. He didn't tell us that our children were going to reject the word and walk away and leave us wondering about our kids and our grandkids. He didn't tell us about those things. We didn't know. We thought it was going to be all of us and everybody we talked to was going to accept this thing wholesale. You can't even give it away. He didn't tell us. Brother Branham makes a statement in a message called Christ is revealed in his own word. Now, he uses a different text, but I wanted this to apply to the text that I read. He said, now my text this morning, Christ is revealed in his own word. Now, where I come to the conclusion to talk on this was because knowing that what we say, we mustn't just say because we're gathered together to just haphazardly speak on anything. I was talking to Brother Terry last night. This is the third year in a row that I preached the Veterans Day weekend. And I think I actually preached one even before that, but three in a row. And the same brother that prayed this morning prayed the other two times. I forget the brother's name. What is this? This is like a tradition now. So, welcome to the third annual Happy Valley Veterans Day Revival Meeting with Brother Dale Smith. But we didn't just haphazardly gather together to haphazardly speak on anything. We just don't make up a sermon. Brother asked me one time, he said, well, how do you get your sermons? I just responded, it was a kind of a novel thought. I said, well, how do you get your dreams? It's about what you feed on. Brother Bam said, you eat a bunch of fresh meat, which is a really good idea. I could stand a little of that myself. But you just eat a bunch of fresh meat. He said, you're liable to have a dream about anything. He said, so there's multitudes of business and whatever more. But, we didn't just come to haphazardly just, speak on something that we made up. We just don't make up a sermon. You have to wait on the voice of God. You have to wait on that nudge, that little nod. Sometimes it's very faint. It's still small voice. But still, you want to have that, and you want to have confirmation. But I like what he says here. But it's something that will help stabilize the people. For we are going to pass through dangerous, treacherous waters. We're already sailing through them, and sometimes I guess it is with you like it is with me. That it seems that so much of it is such a scary. He didn't tell us that when we got on board, when I got on board, it was 1983. I was a brand spanking new converted Christian, fresh out of the Marine Corps, never raised in church, didn't know the first thing about God. As Jack Coe said, far as I knew, the apostles was the sons of the epistles. Or vice versa. I didn't know the first thing about God, and I had read a little bit of the Bible. I think I got through about the 10th or 12th verse of the first chapter of Matthew and laid it down, because so-and-so begets so-and-so and so-and-so begets so-and-so. Names I couldn't even pronounce. And I said, boy, if this is all there is in the Bible, I've had all I can stand. So that's the truth. I didn't want to read it. Too much therefores and begats, and I didn't know all that stuff. And so, but when the Lord Jesus made himself real to me, and that I knew that he would save me, and I got on board, and I heard about a message and about a supernatural God and about a prophet of the hour that God had vindicated with signs and irrefutable witness, I accepted it with all of my heart, and I thought, oh boy, this is it. I'm on the road to glory. I'm in the ship of Zion. And away we went. And the first thing you know, I was rejected by every single friend I had. I was turned out by my family. My own mother and father didn't even want to have anything to do with me. My brother made fun of me. My cousins that I was raised with, amen, they called me a religious fanatic and said they liked me better as a sinner. Right. I never had so much conflict with the people that I loved until I came into the Word. And nobody told me about that. And so now, here the waves are starting to roll, but hey, we're tough. And so here was Peter, and the disciples are out on the sea, you know, and they're just rowing along and resting, you know, and talking testimony on the sea and all these kind of things. And then the waves start coming, you know. And the wind, Peter says, yeah, looks like a little squall, you know. Coming up, no biggie. Bigger cut than this on my lip. Never stops whistling. Just a rolling along there. Whoa, big old wave coming. You know, Peter, he's used to it. James and John, no big deal for them. What about poor Matthew? He was a land lover, tax collector. About two big waves and hey guys, this is bad. Oh, get next to yourself, Matthew. Ha ha! Oh, they get a rowing. They just start, you know, let's sing an old song. You know, they're row, row, row your boat. Oh, this ain't nothing. Whoa! Little white capper comes over the side. Whoa, this is wind. Is it really getting into something? Yeah, old John's over there. Yeah, Peter, this is going to get a little bad out here. Ain't nothing. They just kept rowing. You know, after a little while, all of a sudden, this thing's coming up. Whoa, down the other side, and splashing, water's coming over. Hey, we got a little bit of water in the boat. You boys might want to bail a little. You know, and the disciples over there, Bartholomew and all the ones that was, you know, farmers and what more. You know, they're like, oh, God help us, Jesus. Oh, shush up, don't bother the master. You know. And they just keep rowing, and after a little while, but that thing got so bad that after a little while, Peter's oars is broke, sails tore clean off the boat, water coming in. He's saying, bail for your lives, boys. You know, he's in a panic. Even Peter ain't never seen nothing like this. Water. Brother Bam says, it's treacherous waters. And we're going to sail through them. I'm glad that we got a messenger to tell us that, hey, prepare yourselves for a storm. Amen. Mm. The message, go wake Jesus. Brother Ham says, now others where Jesus said the two spirits in the last days would almost deceive the very elected if it were possible. But the elected ones will know different. I'm glad for that. How will we know? Amen. We had a voice. He said, but we're in a time of trouble. A time of trouble. Brother Brown says that every political system has failed. All government systems has failed. Military systems have failed. Educational systems have failed. Psychological systems have failed. That's right. Everything. Religious systems have failed. It's all failed. He said, we're in a time of trouble where there isn't a minister in the world that can stop our denominations from joining this ecumenical council. We're in a time of trouble, friends. This is troubled waters we're going through. We ain't never been in anything like this. We never seen anything like this. The world, this is gone beyond unprecedented. This has gone beyond, you know, historic. It's gone beyond. And so now this has never been seen in the world history where these things are that we see taking on around us. It's unprecedented. And he says there's not a minister in the world that can stop it. We could take all the Donnie Reagans, Dale Smiths, Jason Watkins, Ed Biskels, Tim Pruitts, Wayne Lawsons. You take them all, the best of the best, and I sure would like to be numbered among them. Not that I'm any good, but I just want to be with them. Like Abraham said, I just want to be where Job was. That's just where I want to be. I want to be close to one of them brothers. But we can't fix it. We can't stop it. You say, that's why Brother Abraham said there's not a minister in the world that can stop it. They're already in it, no matter how many things God did, how blessed He is among us, no matter how what God does, or how blessed He is among us. I'll up the bar. All the William Branhams that you could put one in every county wouldn't stop this thing from coming together. No matter how many things, how blessed He is among us, they went right into it anyway. You can't stop it. That's just all there is to it. They're going to do it now. This is what he says. Troubles that cannot be remedied by the church. You say, what? There's something that we can't pray about this? We can't turn the tide? How many religious organizations are calling for revival in our day? They were calling for revival in the latter rain and all these things in the time when the prophet of God was on the scene. He said, they'll never get it like that. It won't come that way. We can pray for revival to strike the nation. We can call for every religious organization to prayer and fast and repent of their sins and turn from their wicked ways and call on God and they would hear from heaven. And we're beyond that, friends. It's a time where the elect of God have got to go wake Jesus. You've got to realize that this thing is so far gone. There's no turning it back. The nation is gone. It's beyond hope. It's beyond repentance. As a nation, she's doomed. It's over. But for the elect of God, what are they? They're in the boat with the Savior. Brother Branham said he was asleep in the boat. He said he may have been tired between the meetings. So there may have been a time as we're crossing between this dimension and the next dimension that it seems as though Jesus is not aware. And we would even pray as the disciples pray, Lord, don't you care that we perish? What a question to ask the Lord God, as the brother said. Well, he didn't save us, amen, to lose us. He didn't teach us to swim to let us drown. Then what he did, that's not what he did. But we find that there's a lull and there's this storm comes up. It didn't catch Jesus off guard. Didn't catch him off guard. Though, no doubt, this thing was, you know, this was, you know, cataclysmic. This was waves were coming in. They were, the veteran, you know, seamen were they were, oh, we're going to drown. You care that we perish. And so they go and wake Jesus. Now, this is where I hope you just give me a little bit of room to inject something. Because many times what we do is, oh, let's go to prayer. Let's go to God. And we go to God to wake him. And we go to wake up Jesus. And Jesus wakes up. And Jesus comes on the scene. And then this is where I find that many people, then the reason that they woke up Jesus is so they could tell Jesus what to do. Everybody's bailing. Wake up Jesus. Jesus, here's your bucket. Fix it the way I would. Fix this my way. Oh, yeah. Here, Jesus, bail. Jesus don't fix things the way man fixes things. His ways are not your ways. His thoughts are not your thoughts. His thoughts are above my thoughts. But his thoughts are foolishness compared to my thoughts. That's what he says. The ways of the Spirit are foolishness to the man, the way a man thinks. So now we think, well, you know, you need to fire up a GPS. You need to send up a flare. You need to do whatever it takes. You need to call in a rescue vessel. We need a bigger church. We need whatever it takes. You got to fix it. We need a better specialist. We need a second opinion. We need to hand out flyers. A correspondence course that every family can do every evening to kind of figure out how to fix this thing. So that men will be better men and women will be better women and kids will be better kids. We think that we can fix it with some kind of, you know, a program or some sort of a 10-part DVD series that we paid $99.95 for. Three easy installments. As seen on TV. I don't know what they got on TV. I don't see the TV. But that's not going to fix it. That's the way. This is way off topic. I'm a framing contractor by trade. I've done it for many years. And so I was framing houses and back. My business wasn't doing as good. And this guy was willing to pay me more money than I could make working on my own. I said, no brainer. Let him carry the headache. I'll just go to work every day. And so I go to work for this guy, and he was super good carpenter, very knowledgeable guy. But he had this buddy of his that had been working for him. They've been like yoke buddies for years and years and years. But his buddy just wasn't the brightest bulb on the tree, let's put it that way. But they was buddies. And I think he only kept him around because the guy always had some stash of pot on him and they could go smoke pot at lunch, you know. But I worked for these guys and then they would always be sitting around at lunchtime and they'd all be getting high. And I was like, you guys are crazy. You know, this ain't going to help you. But anyways, I just let them go about their business. And I'd do my job and they did their job and he paid me good and I was happy. Well, one day his buddy is building these rafters. They're big long rafter joints that had to nail together. They were so long that they actually spanned like 30 something feet. So they had to nail two of them together. But the boards weren't exactly the same width. You say, where are you going with this? Just ride with me for a little while. And so the his helper down there, this other fella, he starts nailing these boards together and cutting the end for the ridge pole. And he cuts the other end for the sit on the eave down there and for the eave, the overhangs and all this. And so he's getting them all cut out and he starts sliding them up the roof, you know, one after the other. And here he's got a whole pile of them. He's got 10 or 15 of them built down there. And he slides them up there. When they start getting up there, we realize that the top side where we have to nail our sheathing, there's a difference in the width. And we're like looking at it and said, he built these things upside down. And so my boss man, he's a great big fella, hollers down at his partner down there. And he says, hey, you build these upside down. He said, no, I build them right. And he said, well, he said, you got them, the tops are offset. There's a difference at the top. He goes, oh no, I flushed them on the bottom. He said, why in the world did you flush them on the bottom for? He said, well, so that the sheetrockers, you know, won't have to worry about that, my boss man said, I'm not a sheetrocker. I've got to nail my decking on the top of this thing. I'm worried about what I got to build, not what the sheetrocker. Let them worry about that. Amen. Poor sheetrocker. And so the other guy down there, he makes this statement because there was a right way to do it. And he knew he'd been working for this guy for years and years, like 20 years. He knew the right way to do it, but he thought for himself. Instead of going by the way the boss man wanted, he thought for himself. And so now come the moment that we were all waiting for. The boss man looks at him and says, but I'm not a sheetrocker. I want my decking's got to go. It's got to be right. I'm the framer here. And so the guy down there makes the fatal mistake that he opened his mouth and he says, well, all you got to do to fix it. Boss man says, I know how to fix it. I just don't want to have to fix it. It's new construction. And about the time he grabs a ladder and he throws the ladder. I don't know how it did it, but it went out through the rafters. It was like a guided ICBM. Went clear out in the driveway. I never seen a ladder fly so far. He started tearing down the building with his bare hands. He didn't want to have to fix it. We find that that's the problem with the day and hour that we live in, is that so many people, they won't listen to what the preacher has to say. The pastor, he'll stand here. He'll go in the office. He'll call you in there. He'll give you a list, amen, of this, a bullet list of this is what you need to do to get it right. And you go and do it exactly the opposite. Or you don't show up at all to get the instruction. And then you wonder, and then you try to tell the pastor, well, all I got to do to fix it. Thank God, Brother Donnie, don't have a temper. There would be half of you here. I know how to fix it. I just don't want to fix it. I don't want to refix it. If we just take the instructions. Bible. B-I-B-L-E. Basics, instructions before leaving earth. This is how we get out of here. Go by the instructions. Boy, that was off my notes. It's time to go wake Jesus. But Brother Brown makes a statement here, and I'm going to dwell on this for the next little bit. That we don't haphazardly speak on these things, but it's something that will help to stabilize the people. To stabilize the people. I thought it was interesting. Brother Brown makes a couple of statements I'm really going off point now. This may be real short. Christ has revealed in his own word, Brother Bam says, now the stabilizers has been put on the ship. He said, great fearful waves are out here before us, but we know that just beyond the wave yonder, we're nearing the shore. We're nearing the shore. Just stay stable. He said, but there's a hiding place that's made out of feathers under the wings we abide. And remember, if the end time could come before morning, anyone knows that the church before it happens, how close it is to his coming. See, as it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. And everything else they're talking about. I find that people today, that they base their level of spiritual dedication on Fox News. Yahoo News says, MSNBC said, NPR, we ever listen to them, they say that this is what it's going to be. And this is what's coming, and this is what's happening, and this is what's going to happen to our economy. And so we base our level of dedication and our desperation based on what the media has to say about the times that we live around. You can pull up five different news websites and get five different situations. Why? Because none of them, not one of them knows really what tomorrow holds. So why would we base our level of dedication, our level of desperation upon some news program or something that we read in the newspaper? After all, it's all bad news. I'm not here to read the bad news. I'm here to read the good news. And the good news says, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. The good news, amen, has given us a forecast. Amen, that spring is coming. Amen, there's coming a day where there'll be no storm clouds. Amen, no clouds will dim the sky. Amen, no darken the sky. Amen, friends, what is it? The good news says. Oh, I'm here to tell you what the good news is. Well, there's plenty of bad news out there. But Brother Bam said, we're here to tell you these things to help to stabilize you. To stabilize. I thought it was striking. I got to looking, because he says that the stabilizers are on the ship. So I went and looked. Now, I'm not a naval personnel. We were only the guards for the Navy. I admit. And so, but we did, so I don't know all the terminology of the Navy and all these kind of things, but I did know one thing, because I Wikipedia'd it. And I found out that there was these ship stabilizers, that it actually started out way back in the maritime under the wooden vessels in the time when ships were, a lot smaller. But they actually had, inside of a ship, down in the hull, they had a big flywheel. Weighed several tons. And they had a gear mechanism that would actually begin to turn this flywheel so that it would get this flywheel to spinning. Now, any of us that were ever in physics class, remember that you'd hold a handle like this, and have a bicycle wheel, they'd spin the bicycle wheel, and you'd have to try to turn that bicycle wheel, and it would give you resistance. Some of you probably remember that. Well, that's called gyroscopic precision. And so this wheel would be, this big giant flywheel weighed several tons, in the bottom of the ship, and they'd get this thing spinning really fast. And so what would happen is when the ship would go over a wave, and it would try to tip the ship, then this weight inside of it, this big flywheel, was actually attached to the hull of the ship. And that flywheel would resist tipping, and it would resist and lean into the wave. And so it would give the ship a smooth ride. And it was called a gyroscopic stabilizer. And so this gyroscopic stabilizer was in the bottom of the ship, weighed several tons. But there was a drawback to that, because the ship only weighed several tons. And so now the stabilizer, it gave them a smooth ride, but it took away what they could haul in cargo, and cargo meant payroll. And so they had it was kind of a drawback. Well, modern technology moves on a little bit further, and they realize that they can build a smaller stabilizer, takes up a lot less space, and they could hook to it some little electric wires, and they could go out here and they could attach to some hydraulic cylinders, and they could put these big wings underneath the ship. And so that when a ship would begin to tip, the stabilizer would recognize this tipping. It would send a signal, a message, that would go out to this wing over here, and that wing would extend. And so now as the ship would extend, it would actually have this wing out there. And then as it would rock back the other way, it would open up that side. And then back. And so they had these big stabilizers. I thought, isn't that striking? It was called a gyroscopic stabilizer. Well, I began to look at what a gyroscopic stabilizer design was, and it's actually a wheel in the middle of a wheel. And so there's this little wheel in the middle of the wheel, and so now then there's this wheel in the middle of the wheel is going through the water, and it's tipping one way or the other, and they have them in aircraft as well, and spacecraft, and everything that flies or sails. They have this, even your new pickups have them for the anti-roll and your new Rubicons and all these different things. They have these little gyroscopes inside of them so that they can tell what your pitch and your tip of your vehicle is. Interesting. So Brother Branham goes on to say, he talks about the anchor and what more, but he picks this up again. He says, we're in the last days, in the last hour of the days. Do you see him now in his word? And all the word made manifest right here before us. O church of the living God, get to your feet, believe him with all that's in you, hold to that little wheel in the middle of the wheel. Let it stabilize every move and every motion that you make, every thought that you have. May it be controlled by this tower that's on the inside of you, because God is sitting right in his word for the hour. The evening light showing forth light. The big wheel run by faith, but the little wheel turned by the power of God. He said, I spoke this last Sunday morning on that wheel in the middle of the wheel, or that little inside soul on the inside of the spirit, how that the spirit on the inside between the soul and the body can actually be anointed with the Holy Ghost. Do you understand that? And so now then, what was happening on the inside of the soul, there was something that was turning. It was a wheel in the middle of the wheel. Brother Adam said it was God in Christ reconciling the world to himself. And so now there was this wheel that was turning. It was the word that's being preached. Amen. What is it doing? But it's stabilizing. Amen. Under the two great wings of the eagle, anointing on the church of the last days. Friend, there is nothing that can stabilize our heart any better, amen, than hearing the voice of God for the day and hour that you live in. Amen. Because he will tell you where you're at in life. Amen. He said, this book is the only book that tells us where we come from, how we got here, and where we're going to. Hallelujah. So the message of the day is stabilizing us. And so you say, well, that's only in a big ship. Well, hey, modern technology. They've now reduced the stabilizer so you can put it on your personal watercraft. Isn't that wonderful? We can all have one. It responds the same way that everybody else's responds to. It operates the same way. It doesn't take, it's not a different gospel. So many times they say, well, we need to have a youth meeting. You know, youth are sinners or die and go to hell just like adults. Same gospel that saves an adult saves a youth. Same gospel that saves a youth will save an adult. It's not a different gospel. And so, we're being stabilized. Now, we find out that that wheel in the middle of the wheel, we spoke on it last night, that that's what Isaiah saw. That was what Moses saw in the flaming sword that turned every way. Brother Branham tells us that's exactly what John saw, the four faces of the cherubim. He said it was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John guarding the way back into the book of Acts. He said it was those guards that guarded the throne. He said, and now it's taking us back to the tree of life. And so now we realize that that's what that wheel in the middle of the wheel was, that it's only the revealed word of the day that can actually stabilize us in the hour of troubled waters. On troubled sea, let me tell you, friends, if we didn't have a stabilizer, well, we would just be all over the place. But this thing is, it's smooth sailing. Just on the other side of the next crest, amen, we're going to cross over to the other side, friends, and we'll come into safe harbor. Oh, glory to God. We find another place, Brother Bam talks about that anchor. Now, this is another thing I Wikipedia it. But there was actually an anchor that they drop out of a ship. It's actually the heaviest anchor. But it's never not intended to hook onto anything. It's just intended to go way down deep. And it's called a sea anchor. And it actually is what keeps the ship, you know, righted in troubled seas. and it keeps the ship stable. And you know, we've got an anchor called the Word of God. And we drop it down deep. And we drop it down into a dimension that we really don't know what's down there. So it's out beyond our comprehension. All we know is that when it's down there, things run smoothly. We find today that a lot of times people wonder, why am I getting tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine? Why is it that we're going, as we read there in Ephesians, I think it was, he said, henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. Well, this is not a time, though I realize that some of us are few in years, but some of you that are many in years, that you are children when it comes to faith. And so it's time that we be adults. It's time that we find our confidence in the one that's in the ship with us. And when we wake him, don't tell him how to fix it. Because when he fixed it, he just didn't fix the condition of the boat. He fixed the condition of the sea. They didn't call the admiral of the fleet. The admiral of the fleet, well, he could have stood up there with his hat and he could have said, row, boys, row. He could have done whatever he could have done, but he was just a mortal. But he didn't call the one that created the ship. He called the one that created the sea. Amen. He could speak to the sea. He could speak to your condition. He could speak to your trouble. He could speak to your sickness because he's the one that made you. I want the Creator to come on scene. I want the true captain. Might have told this here before. It's getting late. Probably ready to go. That'll be mandatory in every church. A new doctrine. I read a story that D.L. Moody told. It sticks with me. But he told of a ship that was crossing the Atlantic. It was bringing some cargo. It was bringing a lot of passengers. As they were sailing across the sea, it was back in the day before they had, like you say, Doppler. They didn't have weather forecasts. You know, these storms just caught them out there. And so this storm began to get worse and worse. And, you know, the people were getting a little bit concerned. And finally, you know, the sea, it gets to a certain place. The waves start getting at a certain level. And the captain has to make a decision. And so he actually calls for, you know, all the sheets to be pulled in off the sails, calls for all the passengers to go below decks, calls for all of his crew to go beneath the decks, to batten down the hatches, to seal the boat completely. He says, you go down there and you stay down there. You don't come out of there under no circumstances unless I call for you. He said, I'm going here to the helm, he said, and I'm going to take this rope and I'm going to tie myself. And so he ties himself to the helm and he grabs the wheel and he's tied himself to the helm and he's waiting there and he's riding out the ship and the people, they go to the bottom of the ship. After the first or second day, the storm is still raging and the waves are getting just out of control. And, you know, the people that were in the bottom of the ship, you know, it's dark in there and, you know, and no doubt it was, you know, it stunk. And then after a little while, the little children, women, the weak, the old, they begin to get sick. You don't stay on sea like that and not get sick. Yeah, some of these men that have been on the sea. You just get sick. Violently sick. Until they throwing up everything they had ate. Everything they hadn't ate. And they threw up and they threw up. And the crew got sick. And you say, oh, that why are you talking like that? Like, I just want to paint a picture. Well, yeah. That down in the bottom of that boat, it was not a pleasant place to be. It was the filth of humanity was running from one side to the other as the latrines filled and the sickness was everywhere and the people were hanging on for dear life. They did not know that there would come a tomorrow. And finally, one of the men said, I got to go check on the captain. And they said, but he told you not to go up there under any circumstance. He said, but I've got to go check on the captain. And so he goes and he opens the hatch, and as he comes out onto the deck and the water's way running all over and the waves are splashing across the bow, and he goes crawling out across the deck and he's fearing for his own life. He's about to be washed off the deck himself. And he gets over to where he can see the helm and he can see the captain tied to the helm. And he looks up and the captain turns and looks at him. And the man turned around and he went back down in the hole. Battens down the hatch again. And they said, is he all right? And he said, he lives. He said, are we going to be all right? He said, everything's going to be just fine. He said, well, what did the captain say? He said, he didn't say nothing. He said, how in the world do you know we're going to be okay? He said, because I looked into the face of the captain and he smiled. Oh, my friends, I've looked into the face of the captain and he said, everything is going to be all right. I have faith, amen. Whatever my trial is, amen, I'm down here in the cesspool of the earth called the United States. Said, oh, that's strong. Brother Branham said, in the nostrils of God, this United States smells like a stinking urinal. He said, I've been overseas and I've smelled those filthy bathrooms that I smelled overseas. And this United States smells just like that in the nostrils of God. Amen. You think you live in paradise. You think you live in the best nation in the world. Well, you do. But morally, in the nostrils of God, this place is a stench. And if you're happy living here, I feel sorry for you. Because this place is filthy. It's ungodly. Everywhere you turn is nothing but the stench and vulgarity and the filth of humanity. And it's running down the streets of America. Oh, children, it's time, amen, that we look into the face of the captain. I forget what ship was in peril. The captain went. He began to call out to the people. He said, pray. He said, you got to pray. He said, if we don't make harbor in 30 minutes, we're going to the bottom of the sea. And everybody began to pray, and they began to pray, and one old sister, she got to shout. She got to praising God and hallelujah, glory to God. And the captain said, "Woman, what's the matter with you?" She said, "Well, you said if we didn't make safe harbor in 30 minutes, we was going to the bottom of the sea." He goes, "Yeah. What you need to pray?" She goes, "I don't need to pray." She says, "I've already prayed." He said, "Well, what's the matter with you?" She said, "Well," I said, "if we make it in 30 minutes, says we're going to live, right?" He goes, "Yep." He said, "If we don't, we're going to the bottom of the sea, right?" He goes, "Yep." She goes, "Well, if I make it to the other side, I got a daughter waiting on me over there." And he said, "I'll hug that daughter that will meet me when I get off in the safe harbor." She said, "But if I go to the bottom of the sea, I've got another daughter waiting on the other side. Amen. And she'll be waiting for me on that side. So live or die, it don't make no difference. I've got somebody waiting on me." Praise be to God, friends. Amen. This is not a time, amen, to cry out and be all. Brother Man said, they said, "Billy, you shouldn't be talking about the coming of the Lord. You shouldn't be talking about the rapture. It scares us." Said, "It shouldn't be no fear to a Christian. It's the hope of every believer to know that any moment, at any time, amen, there'll come a change. As Job said, in my appointed time, I'm waiting for my change to come." Armageddon? I'm afraid of Armageddon. It's the least of my worries. I'm not going to be here. Mark of the Beast? I'm not worried about it. It doesn't receive the seal of God. Not worried about these things. I'm just worried about the people who haven't. I was reading a story here the other day. I never heard this before. It's interesting. It was a story about the SS Central America. The SS Central America, interesting ship. It was several hundred feet long. And it was a cargo vessel and personnel carrier that came from Panama up past Havana, Cuba to New York back in the middle 1800s. It was actually had steam assist paddle wheel vessel with sail assistance. It was a big cargo ship, traveled up and down through the Caribbean and into the Atlantic and up to New York City. It had made safe harbor in Havana and left out of Havana, Cuba, on its way to New York City, got off the coast of South Carolina, and a storm rose. And the ship had actually suffered some damage in the storm, and the ship was sinking. And so as they got off the coast of South Carolina, they sounded a distress signal. They sent up a distress signal. And there was another ship in the area called the SS Marine. The SS Marine pulls alongside the SS Central America, and it hails the ship and tells them to put their passengers upon the rescue boats and send them across, and that they had plenty of room for all, I think it was 400 passengers or 400 plus passengers. Maybe it was 600. 600 plus passengers. Yeah, it was 600 plus passengers that were on the ship. They said, "We have plenty of room. Bring them all over." And so they loaded up 150 women and children, put them on rescue boats, and sent them over to the SS Marine. The SS Marine takes its first 150 passengers on board, sends back the rescue boats, and says, "Come on over, bring the rest of your personnel." The captain gets on the big horn, and he sounds out, "Why bye till morning?" Captain and Marine goes, "You're sinking." He said, "Lie by till morning. But you're sinking. We have plenty of room. Bring all your passengers over. Save yourselves. Lie by till morning. But you're sinking. Lie by till morning." This went on all through the night. Finally, somewhere around 2-3 o'clock in the morning, the SS Central America goes into 7,000 feet of water. Right to the bottom. 450 passengers sunk to the bottom of the sea. Rescue right next to them. Lie by till morning. I wonder if the ship hasn't pulled alongside your pew this morning and cried out, save yourselves from this onward generation. Save yourselves. You're perishing. Rescue is here. The old ship of Zion is pulled alongside, and it has what you have need of to rescue you. Jesus is on board. Get on board. Save yourselves. But they held on and said, lie by till morning. Lie by. Lie by till Wednesday. Lie by till Brother Donnie gets back. Lie by till camp meeting. Lie by until I quit smoking. Lie by until I can kick this filthy lust habit I got. Just lie by until morning. And they sunk to the bottom of the sea. You'd say, what would possess 450 people and a captain to hang on to a sinking ship that everybody knew was sinking? They had 21 tons of gold bullion on board. 21 tons. Gold bullion. They had pulled out of California. They had brought it through the Panama Straits, had loaded it on board, and it was actually the money that was going to support the economy of the United States and Europe. Their whole fortunes were laying inside of this ship, and they were willing to hang on to that and go to the bottom of the sea with it. How many people today will sell out for a lot less? They'll sell out, like Brother Bram said, for a little Max Factor. They'll sell out for a little bit of, you know, girly pictures. Hey, they'll sell out for, you know, a new car or a better job. They'll sell out for a lot less, amen, than 21 tons of gold. And almost excuse them for it. I think they're stupid. But nevertheless, they went to the bottom of the sea and they never got to spend a penny of it. And neither did their families. It wasn't until 1986 when a man had enough resources to go down there and harvest that gold out of the bottom of the sea. And then the government wanted to get involved with it. And he ended up having to wait another 10 or 15 years before he could go back and get the rest of it. Another man spent their fortunes. They died and left their families penniless. How many men will die and leave their family spiritually bankrupt because they won't insist, amen, that the word of God be adhered to in their homes? When will a man stand up and be a man in his home and insist that the word of God be obeyed in his home? When will he draw the line and say, amen, girl, daughter, wife, whatever, he ain't wearing them skin down wiener clothes no more. You're throwing them high heels out of my house. We're shooting that TV with a shotgun. Amen. We're going to separate ourselves from the world and the things of the world. When will people, but they'll hang on to those things. Brother Bam said a man will hang on to his temper and he'll send him to hell. That's right. He said, oh my, I think of that. I thought, oh God, people will sell out for a lot less. They'll sell out just for a little cheap substitute, some fool's gold. For a little temporary pleasure in this lifetime. Friends, I'm here to tell you this morning, it's time to go wake Jesus. Let us stand. Oh, Jesus. Remember, I know you've heard the story. Many times there was a ship and it was in the sea, and it saw another ship ahead of it, and cried out, got on the radio, said, mend your course so many degrees to the east. The voice comes back on the radio, says, no, you mend your course so many degrees. I think it was north and south. You need to mend your course so many degrees to the north. The man comes back and says, negative, you will amend your course so many degrees to the south. He said, no, sir, you will mend your course so many degrees to the north. The man gets on there and says, I'll have you to know that I'm the admiral of the second fleet, blah, blah, blah. Left all of his credentials. And he says, I command you to mend your course so many degrees to the north. Voice comes back and says, I'm seaman first class. He said, and I am the lighthouse. I am the lighthouse. You know that song, The Lighthouse? I'm sure you do. He said, I'm the lighthouse. Who had the most authority? One man in the right is the majority. Amen. If that admiral, he thought he was the boss. Oh, but he was fixing to run aground. How many times do we feel like I'm in control? I can tell Jesus to bail. I can tell Jesus how to fix my problem. If he would just listen to me. He don't have the problem. You do. He's the fixer. He's the way maker, the need meter. I'm the needy. I'm the broken. Oh. But I remember one night, just in time, we saw the light. Oh, I thank God for that old lighthouse that sits upon the hill. The big churches, they say they don't need him anymore. They think their psychology is good enough. You think their church organization, their big church, big preacher, that's going to save them? Oh, let me tell you, there's none can save, only Jesus. Amen. Only Jesus. I say a boat to me, Lord. Send that ring of unmerited grace. Send it down my way. Amen. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shores. Very deeply stained within. Sinking to rise no more. But then the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. He'll hear yours tonight, friend. If you're lost and undone tonight, I know there's many, many good Christian believers here. I'm sure not de-Christianizing nobody. But I was listening to Brother Branham on the token yesterday. He said, it's not enough to believe in the token. He said, you've got to have it. He said, that token is the life of the blood. If you don't have that today, friends, you're lost. You can try to convince yourself otherwise. Oh, mommy's got it, daddy's got it, I'll be all right. No, you won't be all right. Get on board. Forsake that sinking idea, that experience that you've got. That won't hold you in these troubled seas that we're on. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. Heavenly Father, this morning, oh God, we pray that this little broke up little thought, Lord, this morning. I don't even feel qualified to be here. Lord, if we could say something that would help some poor lost soul to know you. Lord, you may choose at the end that I'd be a castaway. That if that be your will, then I'd be happy with that. Lord, while I'm here, let me just throw out this lifeline of the gospel. Let me just throw out this preserver. It might help some drifting soul on the sea of life. Lord, they're headed for the cataracts. There's nothing to save them. Save Jesus only. Lord, let them call upon your name this morning, and may you hear from heaven. Lord, rescue them, Lord. Let my little lower light shine today, Lord, that they can see their way to safe harbor. Lord, let me agree with the word of God today, agree with the message, agree with this pastor. Lord, agree with the ministry of this assembly. Lord, that we could guide these lost ones, oh God, back to the haven of rest, Lord, we pray. Father, help them, Lord. Maybe there's some person that's lost in their sickness and unbelief, and they need a touch from you this morning. Father, we pray that they'll guide them to faith. Faith in the stripes of Calvary, and that they're still good for healing today. And if we confess the Lord and ask that our joy could be full, He'll give us the things that we ask for. For we ask them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Harry, Brother Louis, help me sing.
Around
everybody that lives around us, they want to tear this lighthouse down. They say the big ships don't sail this way anymore. There's no use it standing around. But then my mind goes back to my stormy life, when just in time I saw the light from that old lighthouse. It still leads me home to Him. I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to Him. And from the rocks of sin, He has shown His light around me, that I might clearly see. If it was for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
Be to God. Amen. Oh my, I've never been one to close a service. So, amen. We're going to pray for our dear brother here, and Brother Louis, you know how to do it. I don't. So, I just keep going. I'm like the Energizer Bunny.
Enjoy the service this morning. You appreciate the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's sing the song, Stand By Me, just before we leave this morning. Brother Charlie stands for Brother Danny today. Let's just pray that the Lord would be with our brother. Appreciate Brother Charlie and his family. Let's sing this song this morning. When the storms of life are raging, did you enjoy the word of the Lord today? Praise the Lord. Amen.
When the storms of life are raging,
stand by me.
Oh, when the storms of life are raging,
stand by me.
Oh, when the world is tossed,
the midst of persecution.
Stand by me. Stand by me.
Oh, in the midst of persecution.
Stand by me.
Oh, when my foes in battle array undertake to stop my way,
God bless you. Come back. You're dismissed in the name of the Lord. God bless you.